I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I've got, listen boys, I've got to get the 9:45 train.
Oh, shut on. Up then.
I'd never seen the magazine in my life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Football Ramble. Lovely to have your ears. I've got the three sexy beasts with me. James or Jim's one of them.
Hello.
Pete's the middle one.
How day.
And Luke's bringing up the rear.
All right.
Good to have you, chaps, as always. Gentlemen, I've got a tweet from... I'm on Twitter now.
Yeah.
At last. PCC Han, 1981, tweeted... Now, this was in light, of course... Well, not in light. Rooney's had a loss of form for a little
not
while.
Not just Rooney, though. Torres as well.
Torres
Joe Cole. I mean, you could even...
There you are.
Tie with that brush.
Thanks. Well, he's wondering who the Ramble Force would choose if they were asked the question, name a player who famously had a loss of form, a sudden dip.
Are we being asked that question? That's what I want to know.
Form. You are now, James or Jim.
I suppose, did it count if they never recovered?
Yeah, no, I think because, so.
If it doesn't, then mine, I need to think of another one.
Well, I'm going to go for Lee Sharp.
Good one.
Because it was just such a dramatic decline. You know, he was on loan at Sampdoria at one point. He only played a few games
or something
like that.
Which
was just weird.
He came to Portsmouth as well for a bit.
Yeah, that's right, of course. I think it was at Bradford as well, he was at for a bit, wasn't it?
It's Celebrity Love Island.
Yes. Yeah.
I saw him only a couple of years ago playing like a sort of kind of. It was England Ireland Legends at Craven Cottage.
What,
it was
hilarious.
And Lee Sharp scored a hat trick. And it's just incredible to think that. I mean, he's only like 32, 33 in that game. He could easily have still been playing.
If he was playing in the England Ireland game, were you playing as well?
Yeah. I was on the bench.
Alex Ferguson tells a story of how when he finally sorted Ryan Giggs out, when Ryan Giggs sort of refocused and became obviously...
Because him and Sharp were mates.
They were big mates. I think they lived together.
Yeah.
And there was talk. Ferguson, I'm not sure if it's still the case, I imagine it is, but he knew all. When the City of Manchester, nothing went on without him knowing.
Yeah.
Because you know the story about him driving around trying to find Paul McGrath and stuff.
Well, there was both Giggs and Sharp, wasn't he? Famously, he pulled them out of a party.
It was their house party.
Imagine that.
It was their house party.
Their own party. But he was at a dinner or something. He was wearing like the bow tie and all, I think.
Yeah, he went round there.
Yeah.
And he
chucked everybody
down,
out.
And he sat down with Giggs. Yeah, he did. He closed the party down.
How
and he,
brilliant
and he,
is that?
He's worse than the police.
Terminator 3 was notoriously a bit rubbish, and they should have just got him as the next Terminator, because that would be terrifying.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's interesting that Sharp and Giggs are similar ages, because it's such a... quite similar players in a way as well, and such an interesting parallel between them, that Giggs took it so seriously and Lee Sharp just seemed to just let it slide.
Well, Ferguson said he couldn't get through to Sharp, so Giggs really picked up his game, obviously, and sorted himself out, but Sharp wasn't having any of it, and he sold him pretty soon after that.
What was that thing? Do you remember someone emailed?
Yeah, he had a fan club, didn't he?
Lee Sharp. Yeah,
you'd come round his house and he'd do a barbecue or something mental like that.
Did he not like send out a monthly cassette or something?
That's right.
Which was him talking like just what he's been up to.
His brother ran it, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's how Ramble started. Post out cassettes.
Is that a new low? Running your brother's fan club? Yeah. Especially if it's a younger brother.
Anyway, good one, James. Pete.
Isn't Wayne Rooney impersonator? That's a new law.
Brothers are Wayne Rooney impersonator.
Yeah. Maybe it's his brother playing now.
He's just having a bit of time off. Smoking on the continent.
Yeah. Having a wee in the street.
Did anyone else like noticeably wince when Rooney said, "No, I haven't got an ankle problem"?
Oh.
I think you were briefed that you have. And you will have tomorrow.
Hang on, but Pete.
So I'm going to go for Thomas Brolin.
Ah, yes.
Who is only 40. Oh my god. Seriously. He should only have retired about 5 years ago, really.
No, yeah.
That is crazy.
Leeds have ruined a few players.
They still are, arguably.
His best player's got to just be even worse. We'll check. Maybe there'll be a. Oh, no.
Should we have an honourable mention to Robbie Fowler as well?
Sorry. Well, yeah. I mean, well, Brawley, to be fair, it was starting long before he got to Leeds, to be fair. He broke his foot just before 96.
In an eating accident.
He had a decent, really decent 94. But then
he played at World Cup 90.
Yeah. And then Palmer bought Asprilla, Stoichkov and Zola, and he just couldn't get back in
the team, not only that,
broke his foot.
Euro 92, they ripped England to pieces.
Yeah, they did. Oh, and of course, the famous goal.
And the famous commentary
from
Brian Moore, I think it was, where he did a version of Dolly Parton's Jolene, where he went, Brolene, Brolene, Darlene, Brolene!
Not quite as methodical as that, but I get what you're saying.
When he played for Palmer against Arsenal in the Cup Winners' Cup, he was just a devastating player, and he looked a real handful and a real threat.
Didn't score that night, did he, James?
No, but still.
Cup Winners' Cup winner. Never know when to stop when you say that.
No.
Cup Winners' Cup winner.
He won something. Thomas Barrett, very good one, Pete. Luke, what have you got for us?
Cast your minds back to the Merseyside derby at Goodison Park in 1997-98. Who scored an amazing solo goal?
What can she ask us?
Danny Cadamata. Massive.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not more. It's less a dip in form to more of it's a dramatic fall from grace.
Yeah.
It has been a dip in form, but it's gone on forever.
Yeah.
Because I think he went on loan somewhere, and he went on loan to Bradford, I think, and he ended up signing for them. He was at Grays Athletic at one point.
Oh my goodness.
Isn't he at Motherwell now?
He's at Dundee United. To be fair, he's doing okay.
It's good to see him, though, still playing the top division. I know the SPL isn't the dizzy heights of sort of Merseyside derbies, but still.
Yeah, I mean, he came out sort of not long after Michael Owen, and everyone was talking about him in the same breath for a while. He had a great season that season, and he's never replicated it since. And there was a couple of incidents with the police, weren't there, where he got in trouble, suspicion of perverting the course of justice and stuff like that. And his career never really recovered, and he just sort of ambled along from one club to the next. I mean, think about it, though.
Comparisons could be drawn with him and Jody Morris.
Yeah.
Because Jody Morris, you know, the guy I know who used to play for Chelsea Youth at the same time said Morris was frighteningly good.
Yeah.
He would take the piss out of the other teams, and he was amazing.
But
off the field, I think Cadamatri had a lot of problems off the field as well.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he couldn't quite do it at the top level again.
So that's mine, and I'll take the points gratefully.
Well, we haven't had mine yet.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm going to go for one, which is he had a dip, and then he's kind of come back. Petr Cech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did get his skull collapsed, though.
Yeah.
No, but still, he did
which
have...
Which is the last part of your body you want collapsing.
Yeah, yeah. he did have a dip, though, and, of course, his mistake really cost the Czech Republic.
He's got a dip in his head now.
at Euro 2008. Against Turkey.
You can't buy a helmet for form.
No.
No, you can't.
Form helmet.
And on that note, I'm going to have to give out the points.
Was it Stephen Hunt who dropped the knee on him?
It was, because as we've noticed, Stephen Hunt can't slow down.
No, exactly.
If he scores a goal, he ends up in the net.
I haven't seen him for ages, that's because he's running. Still.
Yeah.
What are you running from?
I saw him score, actually, at Stamford Bridge. Hull, the first game of the season before they went down. Well done to him.
Yeah.
And to James or Jim, who's got the points.
Yeah. Yes. James or Jim.
Lee Sharp, indeed.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Rooney then. Manchester United drew 2-2 at home to West Brom. Rooney looked a shadow of the man that we knew last season.
He came on late, didn't he?
He did, but I think it was Alan Hansen was pointing out that every time he got the ball, it was just sort of bouncing off him, I think Hansen's words were.
Yeah, that seems to have... even at the World Cup, it seemed like that, didn't it? And it's been a long... I didn't realise how long it's been since he scored.
For Manchester United,
yeah, from open play, but
it's March.
March?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he obviously netted for England away to Switzerland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not scored, you're right. He's excellent
in that game. That seems to have been the one game where this dip just didn't seem to affect him.
That was straight off the back of all the allegations, or not allegations, whatever it was about his private life.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about England, Montenegro a little bit later on, but him against, just lofting balls to the wings and stuff constantly.
Yeah.
Really easy to defend, and it seemed at half time Capello said to him, just start running at players. and he looked a completely different player. If he just does that for me, doesn't he drop as deep as he was against the...
He was dropping very deep to pick the ball up. Gerrard was playing very deep as well.
Well, he was forced to, because he didn't want Gerrard in a striker's position when Rooney was behind him and like doing like a Makaleli sort of thing. it was bizarre. That's right. Very, very strange.
Well, against,
he's obviously suffering with form.
Right? Yeah, well, and he's...
Sorry, not form, obviously suffering from form, but he's obviously suffering from a problem with confidence and everything surrounding him. It's really affecting him.
Well, the rumours, I think they're still rumours at the time of recording, that he's not signing a new contract.
Mm. Yeah, well, it seems to be sort of almost like maybe a dangerous game of brinkmanship for Rooney, because I've not seen any quotes from him, but this is widely reported. It seems like there's obviously something to it.
What I love
I mean, what do you guys think? I can't see him leaving. I really think Ferguson will get him straight, and it might be that he's just trying to sort of barter for like an improved deal. But they're offering him a lot.
It is just like £150,000 a week. Yeah. It's a bargaining chip that I think has just been so widely reported because it's become at a weird time.
Yeah.
And to be honest, with his form as it is now, his bargaining and his sort of discussions regarding a contract probably not in the best position really to talk from. Well, look at your form now. Why should we give you
£150,000? That's why I don't think it is a bargaining chip, because it normally, more often than not, those sort of things happen when players are playing the best form of their career, and then they say, oh yeah, well look how good I am, but I might leave, and then they get more money. I actually think that Rooney does want to leave, and I think he might leave.
The reports are that it's a falling out between he and Ferguson, aren't they? Which is, obviously we've seen it happen before, and these players get moved on, etc.
Well, don't tend to last long if that's the case.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, looking at the position United are in now, they need Rooney, and they need the Rooney of last season.
The difference is, when he got rid of Beckham, you know, he kind of could. When he got rid of Van Nistelrooy, you know, these are guys who are much more in the sort of late 20s, approaching 30.
Yeah.
And Ferguson's maybe looking at a new direction. You know, with Beckham, he was thinking maybe more Cristiano Ronaldo. I forget.
Beckham wasn't that old, but yeah, Cristiano Ronaldo. Yeah,
yeah, but do you see what I mean? Yeah. But Rooney's different.
Yeah.
You know, he won't want to get rid of... He said himself, when they sold Cristiano Ronaldo to Real, or before he went, he said, we sold them Van Nistelrooy and Beckham because we wanted to.
Mm. Yeah.
He won't want to sell Rooney to anybody.
And that, I mean, obviously, Rooney is in there. Rooney, he spent so much money on Rooney when he was still very young, because he's meant to be the linchpin of this last great side that Ferguson's building, perhaps at last. I mean, he may go on forever, who knows? But as you say, he won't want to sell him, and that will undo so much work. He'll have to dramatically rethink his entire squad and his sort of long term plan without Rooney.
Yeah, and they drew 2-2 at home with West Brom.
Never a good result for West Brom. I know they were fortunate with the goals, but they've been brilliant, haven't they?
I feel bad for West Brom, because whenever they get a good result, everyone just goes, oh, never team are rubbish.
Yeah,
what were they so rubbish? No, don't disrespect them. I know Van der Sar are an absolute schoolboy.
Oh, did you hear Lineker's pun at the end of match of the day?
What did he say?
Edwin Blundersar.
Oh dear.
That doesn't even work. Is he trying to get a bit
You've
of
had all show to think that up. And you've probably got writers.
Yeah.
Is he sort of trying to get the match? Does he sort of look at the Sunday show and just think, that sounds a little bit more fun, doesn't it?
Are you saying that pun's a bargaining chip?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it is a bargaining chip.
That's not how it works, is it, James?
Colin Murray eating a big packet of Doritos on
the show. I love that he had it, and the joke, and he had to get it out of frame somehow, and he kept crunching it, and I was just like, is it just... Oi. Take it out your mouth while the image is on.
That's a bargaining chip.
Nice. That's how you do a pun.
Thank you very much. Got there in the end.
Is that a bargaining chip for you to get onto Match of the Day too?
He's not even being paid, Lineker.
Look at that.
I liked how they couldn't show the Doritos face on because of the logos and stuff, but there's a logo on the back. It's just utterly futile.
Yeah.
The Colin Murray giggle hour, I call that.
Colin Murray shit hour.
Oh,
he's actually not that bad.
All right, Clough.
I don't like him resorting to rubbish jokes and the visual gag.
I was saying to Jim before the show, I was saying, well, if Match of the Day 2 was launched a few years ago as a sort of irreverent sideways glance at football, but it just wasn't. It was still just naff old football gabbing on about Nout and Adrian Childs. But now it's just kind of like, oh God. Leaning across to have a crisp.
It's just as well Charles isn't there, because all these good results West Brom are having, he'd be unbearable.
Well, Dixon was gutted when he had those crisps. He looked like he wanted to absolutely smash him in the face. Especially when Didi Hammond took it and Dixon felt like genuinely betrayed. Don't get involved.
What are you doing to my career, Colin?
Yeah.
It could get a lot worse if they carry on in this vein. It'd be like Colin Murray with Alan Shearer and Jack White
Whitehall.
Do you know eating what I mean? Jam on toast.
Jack Warner and Jack Whitehall. I think would be the
Jack Bauer,
the pinnacle of that show.
Other assorted Jacks.
Jack Bauer. Wrong with you.
Jack Charlton Anchory. Aston Villa nil, Chelsea nil. Mm. I was playing Pick Live during that. Mm. Won a couple of jackpots.
Didn't you? You went on to Pick Live, the Football Ramble Pick Live site.
Yes.
And you basically took all our listeners' money.
And then the next day for the Scouse Derby, Merseyside Derby, in case you. It was Everton 2, Liverpool 0. Three jackpots in a row. Hat trick, boys.
Wow.
Honestly, early intentions.
I did Blackpool Man City, which was an excellent game. Yep. Charlie Adam was incredible in that. The good thing with Pick Live is it really, you do see how much players do if like when they're just racking up the points. He was absolutely superb.
So because obviously you've got the chat feature on there, and one of the good listeners said to everybody, "Hurry, we can't let Marcus win over us. He'll never stop going on about it."
Yeah, and it's happened. The nightmare is real.
I've done two games. I've done the big game, and I've come rock bottom out of
the big game. Yeah.
Where can people play this awful game where Marcus takes all your money
on the internet?
Yeah. So the footballramble.picklive.com.
Yeah, get involved. But yeah, a useful point for Villa.
Seriously, get involved. It's fun.
No, it really is. It really is. Villa, useful point.
There's literally not an ulterior motive here.
I'm going to talk about Villa.
Sorry, yeah.
No, I'm not actually. We're going to talk about Chelsea because okay, point there. But. Perhaps different news. Well, it is different news. Chelsea have signed an 11-year-old from Northampton Town. Mm. Michael Jassy.
Go on. Well done.
It's got there in the end. Well, yeah. The 11-year-old.
Yes. Crazy.
Disgusting. Would you say?
Disgusting.
It does happen. Jack Wilshere moved to Arsenal when he was very, very young. It's just, I don't know, maybe whether it's because it's Chelsea, it's been reported a lot more. Yeah.
It was just one adjective I threw out there.
I read a really interesting story a while ago now, not related to this. Well, it is related to this, but not this specifically, about how there was a study done. I think it was some like Scandinavia or Holland or something like that. And it looked at boys playing with their friends and kids playing in academies from a very young age, and it actually came out and said that it's really, really beneficial for the boys to be playing with their mates, even if their mates have got no chance of making it, because they're much more relaxed, they're confident, they enjoy playing their football. And then when they get to 15 or maybe at 14, then they go into the academy, because apparently what's happened is a lot of clubs are hoarding players. I know Portsmouth for a fact, who aren't a big club by any stretch of the imagination, are hoarding hundreds of kids. So you go down to Portsmouth now and you speak to people and their cousins or whatever, 11, and they're playing, "Oh, yeah, he plays for Portsmouth." Yeah, so there's 600 other kids.
It's like playing the percentages.
Well, it is, yeah. And I know that Liverpool are one for that as well. A lot of beer clubs are even worse.
Arsenal's actual squad, when you include the under 21 players and stuff, is about 74, was it, announced? And obviously, that's without all the youth setups and stuff. The bigger clubs do just like rinse the catchment areas.
With all the kids, I mean, legally, you can't offer them money, so it's, you know, win win for the football team.
Do they offer them sweets? Apparently,
I was reading a football a couple of months ago where a notable scout actually said that he wouldn't go into details, but an 8-year-old somewhere in the country, some premiership team, was apparently giving them like £1,000 a month or something just for them to play football for this specific team. God. And it's enough to keep the parents interested, put them in a fund for
it's incredible.
For the kids.
I mean, going back to what you said, Luke, about it's important for them to play play with their mates before they'd hopefully been in an academy. Someone, I forget who, said, it might have been Sid Lowe, and he said, you know, Messi is like the ultimate street player. Mm. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
And it's true, and they're the kind of things, as you say, when they're more relaxed playing and they pick up all these little kind of footballing idiosyncrasies almost.
Mm. Yeah, well, Messi's a perfect example as well, but one who moved very, very young.
That's where you get it from, you know. Mm.
Well, look at all the kids that have been in academies for absolutely ages. People like, I don't know, Scott Parker and stuff. They're all sort of... They can play football, but I mean, they're sort of... they have all of their flair drilled out of them effectively because they're all about drills, effectively.
Yeah, when you are at like 11 years old, you really want to be playing for fun, don't you? Because if you go there as an 11-year-old, it's going to be such an intimidating thing. It's almost going to make it feel like a job straight away.
But also, though, with such money in the game, people will, you know, parents will want their sons to become professional footballers. You think, bloody hell, if he gets, you know, that amount of money, we're all set. Come on, you're the real hope. And you say it puts enormous pressure.
With the Scott Parker advert, you know, the T. Jimmy thing.
The McDonald's one, yeah.
Why do they call him Jimmy? Just use his real name.
Well, he's an actor, isn't he, in that advert?
True.
It's not narrative, though, is it? It's not as though he's got a different name. Just call him Scott.
Scott sounds like too much. You've got, like, they're effectively sort of saying, you've got a Big Mac coming. Scott. It sounds to Scott. Yeah. I wouldn't, if I was a director, I wouldn't use the word Scott, that's all. It just sounds too much like you've got.
Why Jimmy, though?
Well, I don't. Why?
Use his real name, is what I'm saying.
Use his real name 10 years ago.
It's fictional. 10 years ago. He's a fictional boy in that advert.
Yeah.
Fictional
boy. What a player.
Scott Parker! It's just weird.
You don't have to use his surname, it's too formal.
Yeah, but you can just give make up a name. It's
call
fine.
Him Parky and we're done. Everton beat Liverpool 2-0.
It did.
Yeah. It's good to see there's no reaction from Liverpool fans knocking about. I'll make an argument that reactionary Liverpool fans have hamstrung Liverpool not winning the title for 20 years as much as any manager or owner.
I don't know about that. I think what they have done, though, is make people enjoy failing a lot more.
The thing is, let me put that into context. What I'm saying is, look, if you know anything about football, which presumably they all do, that, you know, you don't just look at the manager. I don't understand why they're just permanently railing against Roy Hodgson over and over again when anyone can see there's massive circumstances. Ownership, the players. You know, Fernando Torres is their best player. He's injured. He's been injured, I would argue, for the best part of 6 to 8 months.
Yeah. Huitinga had him in his pocket all game.
You know he's injured.
And he's not that good. He's not a good footballer.
You boys, I mean, maybe I'm overstating the case slightly, but you'd all at least agree there are extenuating circumstances why this happened.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean,
and it needs to be put in perspective.
They're not in a position where they can compete for the title at the moment. And that's...
with Europe at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, but obviously Joe Cole's coming in, he's not had the impacts people would hope and stuff. You look at that squad, I mean, we've said before on this podcast, compare Liverpool squad to Spurs squad. Spurs is streaks ahead of it. I mean, long way.
Even one of their better players, Liverpool, was Ben Ayoun, and they got rid of him. They sold him, you know.
The problem with buying very, very expensive, high-profile players is they want to play week in, week out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're going to spend 20 million on a player, you need to start playing them. Yeah. And people, they're not happy with sticking on the bench, so they go. And that's the problem.
They should never have got rid of Voronin, should they, Luke?
No. But the problem is, though, Jim, do you not think that if he was the right manager for the job 2 months ago, why is he not a right manager for the job now? Well, you've got to give people time.
Absolutely, I completely agree with you. But I think from the Liverpool fans' point of view, this is a crisis, isn't it? Probably the worst a lot of them will have seen
Since
in their lives.
Since
like, ever, yeah. So, I mean, I can kind of understand how that would make you very sort of emotional about the situation, but I completely agree they need to give him a bit more time. And there are extenuating circumstances, which hopefully, for their sake, will sort of calm down now, what with the new owners coming in. But that was so undignified, the way that Hicks and Gillette just kept trying to just... It was almost like they were trying to get the club docked points.
Yeah.
It's like a sort of, like, fuck you to the fans.
Yeah.
Just awful.
I'm in no way in favour of what Hicks and Gillette did. And, you know, and the thing is, they did lose a bit. They lost.
Oh, they lost hundreds of millions.
You sort of, on one hand, you do sort of want to be a bit balanced about it, but, you know, I can't condone what they did. And I just think that Hodgson, for me, I rate him as a manager. Some people may not, but I don't think he goes from being a good manager to a bad manager in 2 months, for God's sake.
And to be fair, he did say after the game, I think we played well. I think that was our best performance.
Yeah,
I don't know where he's getting that from. They had won a game this season, which was certainly better than that.
Do you think he's maybe saying that more for the players' point of view?
Yeah, maybe he's protecting them.
In a desperate
them, I don't know,
attempt
but, yeah.
to try and say, I mean, you know, I rate Hodgson, but is this a little bit too much for him? I mean, you look at Liverpool and you think it's a huge club with a huge history. And perhaps they want a huge personality or one of their own, like Dale Gleeson.
I don't disagree with that, Marcus, but you've got to remember, 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, when he took over, no one would touch that club with a barge pole.
Yeah.
No one would touch it. They couldn't get anyone in. They didn't know that Hicks and Gillette were off. All they knew was a lot of debt, there were a lot of trouble, there was no knight in shining armour on the horizon, and Roy Hodgson was the only man who said, look, this is a huge club, I can't turn this down, they're a national institution, I'll do my best. And I think he deserves a bit of credit for that. And they're not at a great start. You know, they've got what they got, like the 19th, 8 games in their joint bottom. I know that, but the league isn't lost. in November or October. No. You know, there's still a lot of points to be played for, and there's nothing to say that now this hasn't all blown over. There's nothing to say with that squad, if you can get players fit and get them confident, they can't get up into top six or seven. I genuinely believe they can do
sure
that.
I'm sure they will. I mean, look at Tottenham a couple of years ago when they were there in a similar position, like
under Ramos,
but a lot further along, and they still turned it around, and they had a really strong finish when Redknapp came in. And I don't know, maybe it even will take a change, but I don't think there are people that genuinely seem to think Liverpool are going to go down, which is just crazy.
Well, a team that did go down and now they're back up, Newcastle.
Yes.
Zobia nearly murked them.
He did. Charlie Insomnia. He was given a lot of space.
Two great goals.
Yeah, two actually.
His second was an absolute ripper.
Yeah. I knew he's the type of man to celebrate against his former club.
And try harder against
his team. That's right, yeah. You don't expect too many more goals for the rest of the season.
I'd be upset if I was a Wigan supporter, because they don't see that. He's been good this season, but he's not been in the tail end of last season, but he's not been, you know, he's not played like that.
What do you think about Andy Carroll going to live with Kevin Nolan?
Yeah, do you want to explain this story? This is nuts.
I think I'm going to just leave that.
Let
that linger
it for a bit. One thing I'll say is, can the judge do that?
Yeah, I want to know what Kevin Nolan thinks about all this. Yeah.
Pete, do you care to?
Well, he's got in trouble. He's reportedly done some things around somebody else's house, reportedly, but and now his punishment is... To be fair, he's already got a court date in the next couple of weeks. Anyway,
granted conditional bail.
So he's been granted conditional bail as long as he spends his nights at Kevin Nolan's
but
house.
Has Kevin Nolan got to like, chaperone him then?
Well, does Kevin Nolan even know?
But Kevin Nolan's got a family, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but a day before a match, he doesn't have to stay at Kevin Nolan's house, which is weird.
But Kevin Nolan lives closer to the girl in question than he does.
Is he?
It's a 15-minute walk, apparently.
Does the judge know Kevin Nolan? He thinks he's a good family man, it's a good family unit going on there. Go around there and learn.
No, his form was good last season, so he did well in the championship.
I just imagine in my head the phone ringing at Kevin Nolan's house, and he, hello?
What?
You what? What? Ding dong! What's happening here?
Oh, he's hammered.
Yeah. Oh, he wasn't coming through the door. He's coming through the window.
Is he going to be escaping at night?
It's very odd.
He can stay overnight when the Newcastle are playing away, which is good news all round. I think for banter's sake.
Give Mrs. Nolan a day off. Give Colleen Nolan a day off.
In the Championship, the big story that's just broke: Gordon Strachan has parted ways with Middlesbrough.
Has he been sacked or was he?
No,
quit?
He walked. He walked again. Again.
Anyone who said that Chris Boyd was a brilliant signer for the Championship must be an idiot. Which one of you was it? I know it was one of you.
It was all of us.
Was it?
I think we all thought that.
Yeah. Gibson's basically said that it's to Strachan's credit that he did walk. And to be, I kind of agree with him, because he could just stick it out and just get that few million in his pocket.
It's a worst start for a long time. They've not done well. I mean, but when you're 2-0 up at home to Portsmouth, you don't win. Alarm bells.
Come back, Gareth. Come back, Gareth.
All is forgiven.
Hey, I've got an email.
Oh, good.
It's over here. I lost it for a minute, but then I saw it again with my eyes. This is from Will Donovan.
Well, this is concerning the Championship, I believe.
I believe so, yes. Ramaphosa Hall.
Oh.
Having just spent 4 years as a student in Norwich, I've adopted them as my second team, as is my wont, and Norfolk often more than lives up to its reputation for having some interesting supporters. The Norwich fans have an affectionate song for winger Simon Lapin. To the tune of London Bridge. Simon Lapin... King of Spain, King of Spain, King of Spain. Simon Lapin, King of Spain. Looks Spanish.
I like that.
Weird. Glasgow-born Lapin is hardly a dead ringer for Xavi or Villa, but it gets a rendition every time he goes for a corner. Having just looked at his wiki, it outright claims that Lapin is a member of the Spanish royal family, namely the King. at home games, a few fans have taken to bringing Spanish flags and waving them at him.
That
showing,
is so weird.
Showing that Norwich is not afraid of multiculturalism.
Clearly.
Also, whilst at the game versus QPR at the weekend, I can confirm that the QPR sombrero man has kept his season ticket for another year and was a great source of amusement to the City fans in a fairly chance-free game on Saturday. Nothing hugely new to report, but he grinningly produced several vuvuzelas from a bag and started handing them out to nearby children at one point. Glad I was able to see him in the flesh, and glad that he finally got to see a proper crowd at Loftus Road. Love the show. Keep on rambling. Will Donovan, thank you very much for that.
Well done, Will.
The sombrero man at QPR. son listens to the show.
Yes, that's
funny,
true.
Because he emailed in.
Oh, I remember that.
They had a good result at QPR because it was 0-0 and obviously QPR are absolutely flying. But yeah. Norwich are doing all right, aren't they? Yeah. Third or something, yeah.
Norwich are indeed.
But I was just on the Strachan thing. I mean, yep. it turned out to be the nail in Strachan's coffin. Not literally, he's not there. But Lucian Ibekio scored an absolute beauty for Leeds, the winner against Middlesbrough. Ball came over from the left, and it was a left foot swivel volley from about 15 yards out, flew
nice.
In off the post.
Lovely
stuff.
It
was a beauty. He went mental as well. It's like he couldn't believe it himself.
I'd like to mention League One. I saw some of the highlights. Brighton looked good.
4-0 away, was it?
Yeah. Away at Charlton.
Yeah.
They look really good.
Flying,
and your man Loa, who we mentioned.
Yeah, Kazenga Loa.
Yeah, he scored a lovely goal.
They're trying to keep it, aren't they?
But I'd imagine
not against his will.
They can't keep it. We need him back.
He needs to go to Newcastle. There's been some wonderful scorelines, big scorelines. Yeah,
big scores are back. We've said it before. Yeah,
well, they certainly are, James.
Like the Twitties again.
The Peterborough one.
Peterborough 5.
Bunny for big scores.
I love it when he does that. Yeah. Peterborough 5, Swindon 4. Yeah, that is what you're talking about. And the winner was in the 93rd minute.
On goal.
Yeah, no goal as well.
On goal in the 93rd minute. Wonderful.
It was 3-0 at half time. What a game at London Road.
Absolutely superb. Yeah, love that. Yeah. Love it all.
Pop bang lovely.
We touched on it briefly when we were talking about Rooney, but England Montenegro, Pete and I were there.
Oh, yeah.
Courtesy of Umbro, very kind of them. Thank you very much. Chef. We had a lovely time.
Jim, they've changed, haven't they?
Big time.
We didn't know anything about it. No. We were still there in our Hummel tracksuits.
We were so busy keeping it real, we must not have been listening.
The tracksuits available.
My word, it was decadent. Other tracksuits are available, namely Umbro ones. After that little performance,
Swan's Blood Milkshake.
It was decadent. They put on a sort of a Jim Rosenthal, Matt Letizier, who else was there?
Gary Pallister.
Do you know what?
I was looking at
Gary Pallister. Bridge has gone, who is that?
Because he's got quite fat.
He's got so fat. So fat.
See what Swan's Blood in the Wembley Club.
Pete turned around to me and went, that's Gary Pallister. And I was like, and I looked again and I was like, I think you're right. But that used to be Gary.
But he's eaten someone else.
Yeah, he's eaten Steve Bruce.
It was weird seeing Jim Rosenthal up close and personal.
We were right next to him.
Does he look like Satan? Like
he looks even more like Satan.
Fortunately, I had my Bible on me, so we were all right, Peter.
When I went to Wembley...
I said, don't worry, I'll sort him out.
When I had that, they had the little speech before the dinner, it was Mark Bright and Andy Cole, and it was Jake Humphries presenting, similar sort of thing, but Mark Bright had forgotten his shoes. With a pair of trainers on. In a suit with a pair of trainers on. Not really odd. You know, they're on a stage, aren't they? So it's like eye levels. So everyone can see these trainers. Yeah.
It must be a bit. That was a good money earner. As a corporate.
Oh, he talks and massive. Talks and talks, my God.
He does.
He was talking through the whole of the first half.
He's about 3 seats down from me. First half, he wouldn't stop talking about. Palace or something. The second half, he wouldn't stop talking about golf.
Yeah.
Andy Cole was just sitting there like. You know that famous interview of Andy Cole when they ask him a question? I think Fantasy Football did it. And it looked like he had been turned off. It was just like that the whole time.
He often looks like that. Andrew Cole does. Right then, let's back into current affairs. Primera Liga.
Hmm. You always call it Primera Liga, but it's just called La Liga now, isn't it?
No, but it's the Primera Liga.
First league. Yeah. Fair enough.
Is that okay?
Is La Liga the nickname, is it? The league?
Call it Spanish League.
Yeah. it's Spain.
Please continue.
Barcelona 2, Valencia 1. It was 1-0 at half time to Valencia. Could have been 2.
Should have been 2. Valdez saved one with his face, didn't he?
It was hand and face.
Hand then to face, yeah. It was Pablo who scored the first one, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Did you watch the game?
I saw bits and pieces.
Second half, it was
relentless.
Just beautiful. It was like the whole of the Nou Camp just went, right.
Yeah.
We're not having.
How dare you?
Yeah, it really was. Like the whole just thing just totally changed.
Yeah. Iniesta was just a monster, wasn't
it? One of the things I noticed about Iniesta's goal, he scored it in like the 47th minute and he got the ball out, so letting it back to the halfway.
Yeah, well, that
line.
Was the intention.
You've got ages yet?
No. Urgency. But
Xavi. It's suppressing England to him.
Yeah. England. If there's one thing Iniesta has learnt from England, it's technical ability.
Yeah.
But Xavi with 2 assists. What a cross for Puyol's goal.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a fan of the Puyol header.
Because he's very short man, isn't he, Puyol? He just looks like he should be.
But he's about 5'9", 5'10".
That's quite short for a footballer.
He's
a central defender.
Yeah, true. He's got a barrel chest.
Yeah.
So you don't want to mess with it.
I'm a big fan of Puyol. Captain really Caveman.
Yeah, he is. There's a bullet header. He whipped his hair to whip it in.
They should have scored a few more, but Dani Alves was just... pillaging his way down the road. Yeah.
Did you, when I saw, bring it back to the Premiership a little bit, when I saw Silver's
oh, that
Silver's
was beautiful.
Goal for Man City.
That was unbelievable.
In and out. Andy Gray was loving that.
Yeah, yeah. And he did his normal like player mind reading thing, but for about 5 minutes. Unbelievable.
I'm stopping it. I'm shooting. No, I'm not. I'm stopping. I'm curling it in.
I've scored. Oh, yeah. I meant to score as well. I never intended to miss, and I didn't.
And Carlos Tevez comes up and said, "You scored, son." And he goes, "I know I have."
I meant to do it, Carlos. I know you did. I know you know, because I was there.
I'm showering.
I'm going home. I've confounded expectations again.
I'm sleeping.
I wish I could stop this.
Richie Keys going,
"Bow well, men.
We've got to stop. We've got to go. Show's finished."
Is that the final thought? Is it?
Back to Spain.
Back to
Spain.
Andy Gray's last word: "I'm a massive ball bag."
Andy Gray's moment of clarity.
Everyone thinks I'm a ball bag.
Oh God, it's descended into immaturity. But I like it.
Oh dear. Ball bags aside, back in La Liga.
Are they?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I'll follow.
It's just the way I'm sitting.
Real beat Malaga 4-1.
They really did beat them as well, didn't they? Like, in a quite savage manner.
Cristiano Ronaldo, top scorer so far in the Liga.
Is he?
Yeah, he looks
One for the future, I reckon. Yeah,
right. I'll tell you who else is absolutely banging him in is Nilmar of Villarreal.
Oh yeah, decent.
They're doing well. If they win their game in hand, do they go top or joint top or something?
I think they go top. Yeah. But it's looking pretty tight.
I love Villarreal. They haven't got me my Spanish team.
It's a tiny place, isn't it? It's crazy. It's like a little village having a sort of top flight side.
Because Pires, he still plays, doesn't he, Pires?
No, Pires is training with Arsenal at the moment because he's left Villarreal.
Oh, he's left
Villarreal, sorry.
When he first went there, he was trying to get Super Sol Campbell out there.
Yeah, that's right.
He basically said, "Come out and enjoy your football," I think was his words.
Yeah.
It's just superb.
Do a bit of acting on the side if you want. Local drama society.
Yeah, that's right. Iker Casillas, Real Madrid goalkeeper, of course, said he was talking about Barcelona. He's basically not having it. He said, "This is the best Barca in history, and they've been in fashion, but this is just a passing fad."
Well, they're the best in history, and it's a passing fad. It's almost like he's made a compliment, and he realises he's not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
So he's trying to backtrack, really. But it's just a fad.
Sniffy comment.
Yeah. It's odd, isn't it? Bearing in mind that a lot of those players helped you get a World Cup winner's medal.
Oh, I could watch Barcelona all day, but I'm busy, so I can't.
Busy down Ica Grove, where I live with Pete.
Very good, James.
Yeah. It makes no sense. I just wanted to say it.
Well, no, it sounds a bit like biker.
Indeed.
I think that's the reason why you said it. Right, let's go to Serie A. Milan won 3-1 at Chievo. I hope this is Milan get going now.
Pato looked...
They're not doing too bad.
No, but they had a bit of a sloppy start.
Rubinho scored a nice goal. There's always a lot of criticism because he's the lazy shit.
he said he was a team player.
Well, Rupert
for which team? I don't know.
Rupert Fryer did a blog for us on thefootballround.com where he said, and the title of the blog was, "It's time for Robinho to shine at club level."
Yep.
And he scored. So he has. So
he's reading.
He's face Fryer.
Well, no, Robinho's obviously reading the site.
Yeah. Like a lot of people are. There was a great bit. I'm going to stick out on RambleTube. There was this grotesque drag back from Ronaldinho.
It was a grotesque awful woman in the crowd.
Yeah, Ronaldinho.
He did this glorious sort of drag back, like through someone's legs. He dragged it back through and dummied someone at the same time.
I've got to see it.
Is it for over 18s only?
He's back, everyone.
He's been back a couple of times, hasn't he?
Yeah. There's another one we could have had at the start, a dip of form.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But you know,
late honourable mention.
Fiorentina are rock bottom, and I know you don't like to see that.
I don't like to see that.
At least their manager is the most racist man in football, and he's getting punished. Mihailovic, is Mihailovic?
Yeah.
Awful man. Let's not shy away from that.
Spitty, awful, racist man.
Yeah. And they're bottom.
Yeah.
Inter 1-0 at Cagliari. Let's keep on the racist theme. Eto was subject to a lot of racist abuse. Terrible. Yeah. The referee nearly stopped he stopped the game for a few minutes and he nearly abandoned the match.
I think
it was good to see, and that's even if
he didn't fully abandon it, it's just to acknowledge it at all, which so many don't.
That's right. And what was even better, that Eto got the only goal of the game.
What a goal it was as well. Did you see it? Absolutely superb.
Wonderful. Dare I say the best striker in the world at the moment.
you have.
Show what you want.
Okay, well, edit it out, Pete, in case he has a sudden fall from grace.
David Villa's just fallen off his chair.
We'll pick him up then.
Become the top scoring Spanish player at international level in history. Mm. And all the talk over here is for Samuel Eto'o.
Well, he isn't Spanish.
That's a good point.
Yeah. He's never going to win that.
No. And Eto'o performed very well in Spain, so thank you very much for proving my point. Cassano, we were talking about Fiorentina. He got the winner against Fiorentina for Sampdoria.
He's got a few goals already this season.
We've got to mention every time he does something. Anything.
Marcus Antonio Cassano got out of bed today. Madness ensued.
Which actually is an improvement.
Yeah.
One thing you simply must mention is the fact that Lazio are top and Hernanez is playing well for Lazio. Because we've largely ignored him since his move to Italy.
Well, because we did say that when he moved to Lazio, we almost thought it was a bit of a shame actually that he went there. But he's a superb player. Should have more international caps, really, for my
Dunga
liking.
Was funny about him. Dunga was trying to set him up with a move to Milan all the time. Right. And when he was playing in Brazil, he wasn't picking him. I think because he wants to play ultra defensive and stuff as well. Yeah. I think.
Brilliant player. Alessandro Del Piero, he scored against Lecce in a 4-0 win for Juventus. But not just any goal. It was the goal that brought him level with Juventus' all-time leading goal scorer, Guillaume Pieri Boniperti.
Yeah.
178 Serie A goals. And Boniperti said, "I'm not a liar, and I will tell you straight away that it annoyed me a bit. But the fact that it is you, Del Piero, of course, that I have known you since you were a little boy and I brought you to Juventus gives me satisfaction."
Take credit.
Oh, that's the thing. The most Gallagher gave him a cause. I was like, "Yeah, well done, pal."
Yeah,
that's effectively. I brought you into the world. I'll take you out of it. So, threat.
Could he be one of the most Italian men of all time?
I'm predicting when Del Piero does break the record, which he will. I am predicting a bit of writing on a shirt under it.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think he probably will.
I just feel sorry for his knees, Del Piero.
Yeah. Well, you're a man who has knee trouble yourself.
I do. Yeah, yeah.
So you can relate to it.
I'm from a family of bad knees.
But Pete's only on 172 goals for the Rams.
Well, there's a lot in common: dodgy knees, devilishly handsome, bang the goals in, play this little.
Oh, and sideburns.
Friends with Noel Gallagher.
Would you like a Zlatan update?
Yeah, obviously. Right.
Apparently, this is in anticipation for the game against Real Madrid, which will have been played by the time this comes out.
Can I get in the Zlatan Zeppelin before?
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind.
I'm in the Zlatan Zeppelin.
Okay.
I haven't got a thing.
Well, you'll get a thing. It would be a Zeppelin because he would want to look down on everybody. But he said, with regards to training, he said, "I am working really hard in training and
I'm coming in every day."
Yeah, and
I'm definitely there.
Yeah. I'm working really hard in training and I'm killing myself and my teammates. If they win, then I win too.
This is just so good.
Just dawns on him that that's where it works.
Sorry, Zan, I've been saying that for ages. If you win, we all win. If we all win, if you win.
I don't care. Where am I in the league? Where am I personally?
It doesn't work like that. Oh, where are you going? Every time I go and play football, there are 10 other people on my team. It's dressed the same as me.
Is that what they have to do to him when he turns up to me? Right, we're going to call you AC Milan. Okay, and that's you in the league.
Yeah, we know that you're Zlatan.
Yes, we know you've got a mate who's a builder. We've met him.
His son's over there kicking around with the reserve. Yeah. Also, though, he had yet another dig at Guardiola. He just will not let this go. He said, "Guardiola wants to appear perfect in public. Tiger Woods is the same, but no one is perfect."
Yeah. Why bring that in? Yeah. That's a loaded comment.
Yeah.
Why is he picking on Woods?
Odd.
Oh dear. So yeah, that kind of concludes the Serie A roundup. And what a roundup it was.
I think we can agree that we've definitely put the most important issues to bed there.
Can I get the Zlatan Zeppelin piece?
Yeah.
The humanity.
Yeah. Calm down, Pete, calm down. Bundesliga time. Borussia Dortmund, good to see them on top of the league with Mainz after a 2-1
joint top, aren't they?
Yeah, right, they're joint top, yeah. Away to Cologne. Where they make the aftershave.
One of the things that's annoying me about German football at the moment, Do you remember a player called Theophanus Gekas? Played at Pompey. Couldn't buy a start for Pompey. Top scorer in the Bundesliga. Eintracht Frankfurt, top scorer. What was happening at Fratton Park?
Well, when Mascherano came on for Barcelona, I said, wasn't that lad who struggled to get in the West Ham team?
Bitey man.
Well, Hayden Mullins was keeping him out, also at Pompey. He scored at the weekend, so I let him off. Yeah. But I mean, that's outrageous.
Who are Pompey scouts?
Yeah, exactly.
Get rid of them.
Maybe they're actual scouts. It was so poorly run. We've just got some children in.
I wouldn't be surprised.
when's the last time I asked them once a week?
It's alright. I'll
I'm simmering here.
That was a Ferrari turning a corner over a puddle. Yeah.
It was Zlatan, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was Zlatan zebra crossing. Because he crosses people all the time.
Yeah. He does. Yeah.
I've rescued that. I don't care what you say. Yeah. Carry on.
And he's very black.
Conscience. That's the
very
best stance.
Yeah. I don't care what you say. Conscience.
Very black. Yeah. I'm going to press on with saying that Cologne, Stuttgart are bottom of Bundesliga.
Stuttgart.
With 4 points from 8 games. 4 points for 8 games. They need Mad Jens back in there. And Cologne and Schalke are just above them on 5 points. Incredible scenes in the Bundesliga, James. St. Pauli beat Nuremberg 3-2. And they're up to 6.
That is brilliant.
Yeah, Wayne Rooney's going to St. Pauli. I saw him outside the training ground yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah. I saw him on the chair to the sausage tread.
Yeah, with Kenny Pavey.
Have you heard, gentlemen, that a representative of one of the big wigs of St. Pauli was having a little walk around Fulham? And there's little talk between the clubs that they might have a little, have players in between Fulham players going on loan to St. Pauli.
Feeder club.
Yeah. Fulham and St. Pauli.
Would it be a feeder club? Because they're both top
players. Yeah, no, that's an odd link up.
Just a mutually beneficial relationship.
Yeah. Two lovely clubs, and I think we're all pleased.
Does that mean Fulham will get a sausage train?
It would be a pan European sausage train. and start in Fulham.
Wouldn't that be great, though?
And go down the chunnel, which nobody uses that word anymore.
Chunnel.
Yeah, and also, just a quick update on McLaren's Wolfsburg. They lost 3-2 to Leverkusen. They were 2-0 up with 20 minutes to go, but they're 12th.
Well, McLaren had one of the quotes of the season for me. Something like, this was much harder than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it's still proven to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
While we've been talking, Luke's buggered off to that famous corner again.
Oh, I had no idea this was coming up. That's why I shouldn't have added in the Zeppelin. Sorry, apologies, Luke. Now. Over there in
Diego Corner, I don't feel threatened by your puny by your puny Zeppelin.
When you think about who it's named after, you probably should.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, here I am in Diego Corner. It's been a while.
Yep.
Blowing the dust off.
Can your corner float? Don't think so.
Do people care about it? Yes, they do. 350 fans on Facebook. So how many for your Zeppelin?
I'm going to start a forum. I'm going to start a link on our forum.
Do you know what? It will start as well now.
The most important thing is I'm in Diego Corner and I'm bringing you some Diego news.
Read it, damn you.
Come on.
Football great Diego Maradona has led Argentina to a 9-8 victory over Uruguay at an exhibition game in honour of former player Fernando Caceres.
Amazing.
Fernando Caceres is actually in a really bad way.
Is he an ex-River Plate?
He is, yeah. He got shot in the head in a carjacking. He's only 41. I saw highlights of the game and I saw Caceres there, and he's in a wheelchair and he's undergoing therapy. So Maradona, as we've said, we do like to rip it out of Maradona here and there, but he does do a lot of charity work.
Especially an ex-River player, considering Maradona was
Boca. Absolutely right, yeah. Well, because Caceres has played for Boca as well.
Oh, he
played both, yeah. But anyway, yes, they won 9-8.
It's a good win.
Maradona scored the first goal.
Did this happen in League 2?
No, should have done. It's a bit of a beauty as well. And I watched the game. I watched extended highlights of the game. It wasn't a full 11-a-side game. It was indoors.
I was going to say, if you watched the game, that was a dodgy feed, wasn't it?
Yes, Maradona fans, I can confirm he was wearing a number 10 shirt.
Yes.
And he was all left foot, as usual.
But anyway, it's amazing. Are you slagging his feet?
I am slagging his right foot, specifically. Oh. Yeah, he never seems to use. But unfortunately, Claudio Caniggia couldn't play, which would have been nice. But all best wishes to Caceres, because I think he's still got the bullet stuck in his head, and he's blind in one eye.
Oh.
So hopefully Diego went sort of some way towards making him feel better.
Yeah. Nice one. Is that it?
That's it.
Well, lock up and come back.
We'll be back in a minute.
There we go. Right, while Luke makes his way back over to the table of joy, Sepp Blatter was in the press recently because he was over in England, in the country where we all live, and he said that this was, of course, to see England's bid for the World Cup, and he said, "Your bid has impressed me personally."
That shouldn't be important.
No.
Carry on, make your next point.
Sure, yeah.
On a superfluous word.
Thank you.
Oh, we're going to build the train systems in the end of mass transit stuff. No, we need to impress Sepp Blatter personally. I heard the other day, someone told me, and someone who is learned in the world of football told me that Sepp Blatter's ultimate ambition is to win the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, I'm sure of that.
And his plan to do that is to get North and South Korea to host a joint World Cup.
Wow.
I'm for it.
Don't concern you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But, well, he's impressed me personally.
He is like one step short of living under a volcano. And having like a big thing that flips open and misses.
I just impress him personally, right? Don't bother planning anything. Just bring in a magician. Yeah. Bring in a magician.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they did.
No, some women in suspenders.
Made of food.
Yeah. Made of lobsters. Made of langoustines.
But he, but we listed some of the would it be titles that he's got from countries, sort of this empire and this
Peace Prize.
No, he doesn't. But oh my goodness, it's incredible. So yeah, it wouldn't be surprising me if he's after that.
But that's a little bit short sighted because they famously don't get on. I mean, what are the chances of getting that to happen? Eh?
North and South Korea. So he said England can organise the World Cup. That's not a problem. So I'd imagine that would score brownie points for a bid if you want to organise
it. It's not on the list.
If that's the criteria,
the brownies aren't involved.
Yeah.
He also said that he praised England's efforts to tackle the hooligan problem. That was so evident, of course, in the 80s and a little bit in the 90s, and he was very impressed with the stadia. So the 2018 bids are, I think we've pretty much got, it's going to be in Europe.
England have pulled out of the 2022 one already.
Well, that's right, and the States have pulled out of the 2018 one, so it's just left with Europe. Belgium and Netherlands with a joint one, England, Portugal and Spain with a joint one, and Russia.
I think Russia is second favourite.
England favorites. And Russia are the favourites.
You think Spain and Portugal would be a very attractive proposition as well, though? Because the stadia's all there.
That's a big space, though, isn't it?
Belgium, I think any of those. The only one that is a bit more of an unknown quantity is Russia, because Belgium and Netherlands hosted Euro 2000 successfully. And as you say, the other ones.
But the thing is, Portugal and Spain, it is, but I mean, don't forget the Euros in 2012, Poland and Ukraine. That Ukraine is massive.
Well, look at the size of South Africa.
Well, yeah, absolutely right, yeah.
Brazil, of course, so I mean, that'll probably be fine.
Yeah, and then the 2022 bids are around the world: Australia, Japan, Qatar, South Korea, not with North Korea, sadly, and the United States. Now, the Japanese bid is quite an interesting one for the 2022 World Cup.
Didn't they not send anyone, didn't they get American people to do the presentation or something?
I hope so.
Yeah, I think they got loads of Americans to do the presentation. There was like no Japanese people in the video. Something like that. I might be wrong, but I'm sure I read something like that.
Well, in their bid for the 2022 World Cup, it is proposing to shoot all of the games in 3D and then beam them
directly into people's eyes,
souls,
holographically onto 400 pitches around the world.
But it's not that impressive.
That is insane.
No, it's going to be 2022 by then. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So you get back in time. You get Pele to play.
Space it's impressive cars. Now. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, just
they're gonna. So right, the whole point of hosting it in one place is that like the Japanese have got it, but they're gonna be around the world.
It's the world's World Cup.
The World Cup. World Cup.
What's wrong with that?
Wow. One of the good things about the 2022 World Cup, Sepp Blatter will almost certainly be dead.
Gets my vote.
Light at the end of the tunnel, I think we can say that. Speaking of which, we can't mention all this without saying that there has been corruption claims at FIFA. Two of the members have been trying to sell their votes, allegedly.
What they should do is say when there's not corruption.
Yeah. That would be a lot less.
Save everyone's time.
Yeah, news feeds would be a bit more relaxed in general. I was when I was looking at this story, I stumbled across something which described the FIFA headquarters in Switzerland, and it's a new building that was unveiled in 2007, cost £99 million. And
why not go for the 100?
Yeah,
round it up.
Put a nice toilet in or something.
I think Seth
if you're going to siphon, you know, round up.
I think Seth pocketed allegedly. Yeah. Now the outside is mostly made of glass, and I kid you not, Seth Blatter said this. He wanted that to be the case because it would, his words, allow light to shine through the building and create the transparency we all stand for.
Oh my God!
A metaphor's not going to do it.
No.
You know, like when they say there's only been two. Days in the world when there's been peace since World War II. So, yeah. So it's 1945. There's only been 2 days total where there's been world peace. That's not the same with... There's only been like 2 days ever where no one in FIFA's allegedly taken a bung.
What if you stick allegedly in there? Yeah. Such a strong statement, allegedly.
Yeah. If anyone ever does a biography of us, it will be allegedly. Football Ramble story.
The title.
What if you sort of have to? You get something on your shirt and you got to change your shirt and everything's glass. You'd be screwed then. Everyone would see your tops. Yeah, well, like topless.
Well, he does like his ladies in their tiny shorts, yes, doesn't he? So that's probably part of the thinking.
However, I think the transparency only exists on certain levels because the building also includes five underground levels.
Right.
Five underground.
Five.
How much?
Is that where they do their actual work?
Yeah, clearly.
Lair. It's just a lair.
Yeah.
Five underground levels. That's like a video game.
Yeah. A fitness centre. That's empty.
Fitness centre.
A fit and proper person centre.
The fitness. A meditation room.
God.
Geographically themed.
I win the Nobel Prize.
Delusion room would be more appropriate.
Geographically themed parks. A full sized international football pitch.
Underground. There's no need for it.
Do you know what that is?
Whoa. So what's it made of? This is under the ground.
Yeah. Skin. I don't know. he said that it's more than a building to be shown. It is like a home where people can meet, talk, rest and retreat in silence and contemplation. No, it isn't, because only you and your dodgy mates go in there.
Yeah. More than a building.
That simply had to be brought to the masses' that attention.
Really Andrew Jennings talks about how that's the most amazing, like, opulent building on the shores of Lake Geneva and stuff. Yeah.
Andrew Jennings is a constant thorn in Blatter's side of
and Warner's.
Oh, that's it. I love Warner. And he's a real sort of quintessential
trash,
lovely old English gent.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Is
nice
Jennings
guy,
he goes about his business beautifully, and
but he's on a crusade though, isn't he? It's consumed him. He's like Gollum.
I'm with him.
I've got an email. Does anyone want to hear it?
Fire away, old sport.
Around the fourth hole.
Gents,
on the back of the image of Roy Keane wandering about with a Labrador impaled on his arm like some sort of ultra-demonic Rod Hull that you've stuck in my head, I thought I'd share with you how said canine's fake death was reported by the Irish media. Wandering down to the shop for a morning coffee recently, I was running my eyes across the front of the tabloid in standard doesn't care if I don't pay for it fashion, when a headline in the Irish Sun, cunningly titled sister paper of The Sun, jumped out at me. Trix is dead, it screamed. Keane O'Mourne's beloved pet, it wailed, with giant accompanying picture of the T-1000 himself walking the unfortunate animal. Standard 8-word paragraph in the obligatory steep pages 2, 3, 4, 5, 46 and 47.
They've got nothing on.
Yeah, they really, really haven't. Bringing you the news that matters. Keep up the great work. That's Keenan Brennan. I think that's pronounced Keenan. It's too Irish for me to understand. Yeah.
You know who you are.
You. Yeah.
We literally got one email about that.
Oh, good. Little update there. From the country of Ireland. Yes, Luke.
Do you want to do forum topic of the week?
Yeah. That's an idea.
Yeah, you're going to do it. You go ahead.
Is that okay? Did you want to do it?
No, well, I don't mind.
You've got your corner.
Yeah, that's true. Pete's got his Zeppelin.
Oh, what?
You have your forum.
Do you want to do the forum?
Am I stuck with Iker Grove now?
Yeah. It's all right. It's not a good plan.
How often is that going to come up?
Yeah. And I'm in
do
the...
what Pete does. Work it in.
I suppose I'm in the FIFA palace then. The forum topic of the week. Here we go. This is the scenario. See, another scenario.
Yeah.
The coalition has fallen apart. Now, for those who don't know, that is the coalition government currently serving our needs.
Yeah. If you don't live in England,
or Britain,
our election
Britain.
Essentially went to penalties.
Yeah.
In Britain, of course, James.
It's not important. Carry on.
So the coalition falls apart, and a bloody extreme turn of events leads to the Footballers' Party gaining power. The question is, who do you put in each position, looking for Prime Minister, Deputy, Chancellor, Foreign Secretary, Home Secretary, etc., etc.? Footballers, managers, past or present, dead or alive. That's it. Can I say spin doctor Alex Ferguson?
Yeah, not bad. I'm going to go for a foreign...
I'm going on the Malcolm Tucker theme there.
Foreign Secretary, Leicester City's Wayne Brown. voted BNP, didn't he?
So are you basically endorsing his views by wanting him in charge of that?
No, I'm just saying. Well, he's obviously keen on foreign
you'll
relations.
You'll be fine with your area, look.
Defence Secretary? Big soul.
Come on, eh? I know he's obviously not British, but I'm trying to... surely Sven Goran Eriksson's got a role to play.
Yeah,
well, sort of head of finance, surely. He knows how to make money, that guy.
Well, Business Secretary is Peter Storey. There's no doubt about that. I didn't know what was happening. I was just a chief exec.
I was a patsy.
Yeah.
For Home Secretary, I'd go for any Arsenal defender because they look good behind a desk.
Oh, God.
What you said earlier about fitting points in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
Brian Kidd, deputy. PM,
oh, I'll tell you who I'd have.
Yeah, always there.
Always there. Yeah. Never the bride. Always the bridesmaid.
Well. Yeah.
Education, charge of education, Clark Carlisle.
Oh yeah, Countdown. Yeah,
good. Because you're on Countdown.
Yeah. Can I bring it down to a more sort of poignant level?
You're going to.
Prime Minister Sir Bobby Robson.
Yeah.
Oh, come on,
yes,
mate.
Yes.
Stick him in.
Culture Minister.
We need some whips as well. We really do. Furious whips. Who's angry all the time? Duncan Ferguson, whip. He'd be an incredible whip.
David Moyes.
He'd be terrible. Moyes.
Actually, Moyes would be the spin doctor.
They're literally whips.
Yeah. No, well, they would. Yeah, Moyes and Ferguson would.
I misunderstood it. I wish I'd never appointed you now.
Excellent, excellent. Well, there we go. That was the forum topic of the week.
Get on there for more of that sort of thing.
The footballramble.com's forum.
You get a little... if you do that and you get the one on the show, you get a little forum topic of the week, little tag.
Yeah,
yeah, oh, for the rest of the week. So
we'll be giving away a copy of Football Manager soon in a couple of weeks. A new one. So on the forum,
will we?
Yeah, up yours, Delors.
Lose to me.
Yeah, well, I might get on there.
All right, I am then. I'm doing it. You could have claimed credit, but I'm doing it.
It's literally the best website on the internet.
It's
even if you don't like football,
better than Google or Twitter or Yahoo or do 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 do. Do 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 do. Fill in while Marcus picks up some paper.
Thank you very much.
He did it really slowly as well.
Like I was enjoying
the song.
Mooching around.
Oh dear. The profile gods have handed me the profile.
And Matt Letizia.
We've done him.
Ambling around.
Was it Ian Selly or something?
Yeah, Ian Selly's was involved.
Ridiculous scenario.
You've got Profile Park. That's your area. It's a park with all the footballers, isn't there?
Maybe it's the sort of entrance to the Dim Window with Hall of Fame. You can't go in there.
Are they all watching me do keep-ups in the middle?
Quite nice.
No, they're not watching you.
I see the Hall of Fame.
That's good, because I'd embarrass myself.
It's being like a cenotaph.
Yeah. And
like with a door in the middle,
they're not all dead.
Like a mausoleum.
Are they just doing training drills?
So you got to cater for the dead ones as well?
Yeah, true.
Nice finish, Perotti-o.
Yeah.
Right, it's profile time. And what have we got today? Well, gentlemen, we've got a derby. It's only the oldest derby in football outside of the UK. It's the Montevideo derby from Uruguay.
Is it here?
Yeah.
It's Peñarol versus Nacional.
Ooh.
Good.
Massive.
It's huge.
It is. Oldest football derby in football outside the UK.
Yeah.
All the way in Uruguay. Who would have thought? Mm.
Who would have thought?
Well, they were big players, Uruguay, back in the day.
Massive players.
They were leaders.
For a relatively small country as well. Yeah. Maybe the most overachieving nation in world football.
Yeah, and up to
apart from Montenegro
as well.
Yeah. But they come to the semi-final of the World Cup, Marcus. Lest we forget.
Lest?
Yeah.
That's right. The population of about 3.5-4 million, I think.
Crazy.
It's less than London by some distance.
Yeah, that's right.
That's less than this room.
That's less than like the tube now.
Yeah.
The two teams, their fan base consists of around about 80% of the Uruguayan football fans, you know.
You've got to be even handed here. If you give even a second more to Peñarol than you did Nacional, you'd have loads of angry Uruguayans.
I know, but I'm fully aware.
You put yourself under pressure.
Bolt the door. They are the two most successful teams in Uruguay, of course. And you can put them in the two of the most successful teams in South American club history. Mm. They share over 80 Uruguayan league titles, 8 Copa Libertadores with Peñarol with 5 and Nacional with 3, and 6 world title championships between them, 3 each. And what I like about this, the derby is always played at the Centenario Stadium, which is not...
their home ground.
Yeah, it's like a special one. And with
that's cool.
Capacity of about 70,000.
It's like when Arsenal had that really successful run playing their Champions League game.
That's right. Well, let's a little bit a brief background on each club. Peñarol were originally founded in the 18th of September 1891.
Oh,
it's a tricky one. It's a tricky
76 years before the summer of love.
If that's right, well done.
Yeah,
it is. But they were first known as the Central Uruguayan Railway Cricket Club.
Sounds like a band I'd hate.
Can't play cricket on a train. You can do a fastball, maybe. You have to straight down it.
Yeah.
Anything really else is damaging, yeah.
Yeah, not much scope for fielding, really.
No, not really.
You could do a fastball. I see you're a cricket expert.
Four! Yeah.
That's why I've been thrown off the GNER on more than one occasion.
Yeah.
Right, well, they were, of course, that they were created by English engineers working for the rail company there. But Peñarol are the oldest football team in Uruguay, as they were formed in, of course, 1891. They were the footballing element of that club. And the name Peñarol was taken from a little neighbourhood village on the outskirts of Montevideo. But the funny thing is, it was an important agriculturalist, Pedro Pignarolo, whose mispronounced surname gave the area and the club its name.
Peñarol.
Yeah, which is quite funny, really, just a little silly one like that, and it's still there. And the club's colours, black and yellow, were taken from the colours of the country's railway signs at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So a rail theme there. And Nacional, they are the oldest Uruguayan football club because, as we say, Peñarol weren't a football club.
Exclusively football.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they were the first indigenous Latin American football club as well. And they were founded on the 14th of May, 1899.
68 years before the summer. That was a bit easy, that one.
Quick, yeah.
And they came about with two university institutions joining together. And they get their colours from... it was in honour of a flag carried by a national hero who defended the liberty of the nation. Now, they won three league titles from 1902... to 1904. This is Uruguay. You're going back some distance.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Twice in that time, going through the season unbeaten, which is an incredible achievement. They their early history featured. They did a lot of touring.
There's a lot of that going on back then, really.
Yeah. That's right.
Tours
yeah.
happening.
And there was one tour, for example, in 1925, which saw the club travel to nine different European countries over a period of 153 days. And, you know, flights weren't exactly easy to come by then. Right, so they toured for that long, and the 38-match programme, 26 wins, 7 draws, 5 defeats, 130 goals scored, 30 conceded. And that's 9 different... They basically turned up to Europe and hammered everybody.
You're loving that. That's great stuff.
Isn't that amazing?
Great.
But, of course, it didn't take long for the rivalry between these two sides, Peñarol and Nacional, to develop. So, as I said, in 1902 to 1904, Nacional twice went unbeaten. And you're thinking, that's impressive. Mm. Peñarol. In 1905, they set an incredible record, finished the league season without dropping a single point or conceding a single goal.
What? that can't have happened.
Well, basically, anything you could do, we could have it much,
you
much...
You literally can't beat that.
That is incredible.
The only way you can beat that is by scoring one more goal than me.
Yeah, yeah. Or never being offside. Like, just...
Yeah. Kicking more corners. You're going to have corners, wouldn't you?
I'd love to see the goals scored that season.
That is unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So, the first game between the two was when Peñarol was still known as the Central Uruguayan Railway Cricket Club. Sorry, the Kirk. they beat Nacional 2-0 on the 15th of September.
Was the captain of the team, Captain Kirk.
Yeah, you know where the door is.
Yeah.
Cheapened it there, haven't I? Sorry about
that. They beat them 2-0 on the 15th of September 1900, right on the dot.
67 years, right?
But when they had the name Peñarol, and the first time Peñarol and Nacional, as they are known now, the first game was in 1913. However, before that, they'd already played each other over 50 times.
God,
you know,
is it not the case that Nacional came from Peñarol in some way? Did one club not spawn the other?
No, doesn't. I don't
think
that's so.
Something I thought was true. I may be wrong.
Or maybe some players were involved. Yeah. It wouldn't be surprising at all.
But the thing is, based on like the amount of games they've played against each other, and based on the percentage of the population who watch the games, it's one of the biggest derbies in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So, let's go through some of the past derby highlights. You have this one was was quite something. This was in May 1934. And this was in the final of the Copa Uruguay. Mm. So the Copa Uruguay, of course. The score was at 0-0. And Peñarol had the ball. And an overhit cross went out of play. However, there was a national physio was by the side of the pitch. The ball rebounded back into play off the medical bag being carried by the physio. Penarholt scored from the resulting move. And obviously there was huge protests. The goal was eventually disallowed. Yeah. So this ball like hit someone out of play and the referee like just continued to play on. And so the goal was disallowed. This was not before two of Nacional's players had been sent off.
What, protest?
Yeah. So those players shouldn't have been sent
but
off.
But if you protest and it gets overturned, surely you don't get sent off. Surely you can come back.
Not in 1930s Uruguay.
No.
You're always saying that.
And I've said it again.
This one Uruguay would have been like...
We're in my park, so...
Uruguay would have won the World Cup.
Yeah, the 4 years earlier, yeah. So the match couldn't be completed due to fading light. So this was in May. The match didn't.
So they started a fire.
The game didn't resume until late August.
What?
And then Nacional.
Did everyone have to stand in the same position that they're in?
Did the other team just have other things on? I can't do July's out. I'm so busy.
We're all on holiday.
Yeah.
Ian Holloway needs to shut up. Imagine the injustice.
Nacional, bearing in mind they were down a couple of players, managed to hold on, and then in a playoff Nacional won 3-2 in a replay. So incredible scenes. The biggest winning margin in one of these derbies was when Nacional in 1941 beat Penarol 6-0. And also I think that their second team also beat their two reserve teams or B-sides. Nacional's side also beat Penarol's second side 4-0. So it goes down in folklore as El Dia del Diez Zero, which is the day of 10-0.
That's a bit dubious, isn't it?
So, but Penarol supporters apparently still sing about their 7-3 triumph back in 1911.
I love it, it's an
old derby.
It's like Larry David. It's amazing.
In 1949 I suppose you could maybe call this a half derby. Penarol comfortably leading 2-0 at half time, and Nacional just simply refused to come out for the second half.
This is the best derby in world football. It's amazing.
That they call it the derby when they ran away.
What other team can you think of? They still sing about their rival team's defeat in 1911.
Now here's a lovely little one. A little quote from former Penarol Uruguayan footballer Alcides Gija.
Oh yeah,
who scored?
Did you in the 1950 World Cup?
In the 1950 World Cup, he's in the Hall of Fame. And he said, with regards to that day when they didn't come out, he said, "I remember it rained constantly that day, but no sooner did the referee warn us the game than the sun came out."
Didn't happen.
Oh, that is absolutely mental.
Yeah. So between 73 and 71 and 73, Nacional went 16 games unbeaten against Penarol. But Penarol won when it was the 100th meeting of the sides. Mm. And for teams who keep such stringent records, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, this is a funny one. In the 1980s, not that long ago, Penarol and Nacional, they set up a series of 8 matches, which was called the Gold Cup of Greats, I think.
Just between them.
It's like almost like a sort of a baseball World Series
league.
This was kind of basically to make money.
Yeah.
I don't think the finances were looking too good. So it's to make money and to see who was the biggest team in Uruguay. I mean, can you imagine? Like United and Liverpool back in the day going, right, I'll tell you what, we'll play 8 matches.
Yeah.
You know,
best of 3, best of 5.
And they were played during 1985 and 1986. However, Penarol won 5 of the first 6, so it was all over before it started.
So Nacional went home at half time again.
Yeah.
That's right. Then we come into the 90s. And in 1990, one of the El Clasico derbies between Nacional and Penarol ended with 11 Penarol and 9 Nacional outfield players, plus a couple of substitutes, collecting a grand total of 22 red cards.
Amazing.
They hate each other.
Yeah. Surely you've got to abandon it before it can even get to that.
Yeah, but it's all been called off and he's still flashing the red card around.
Well, if you think that couldn't get any worse, in 2000, another one of the Clasicos ended with a brawl that resulted in 9 players from both teams spending up to a month each in prison. There's no love lost.
That is incredible.
Remember 1911?
If we've got any listeners to support either of these two teams, email your stories.
Yeah.
They're going to be brilliant.
Yeah. So that's it. So absolutely incredible. Nacional, though, they can say that they won the first Montevideo derby played overseas, which was a 3-1 victory in the 2005 Copa Teresa Herrera in Spain. I'm not sure why that happened, but Nacional won it.
Don't question it.
I wouldn't dream of it. So just a few highlights from some past derbies over the many, many years.
Very
these
enjoyable.
Two teams. So, they've... the game's always sometimes, sadly, there's a lot of trouble with the fans and a lot of rioting and whatnot. But to sum up overall, Penarol actually have the upper hand in the overall head-to-head meetings. Not by much, though. Mm. And as we said before, you know, Penarol, I think, have a few more league titles. Not many, and two more Copa Libertadores. But it's a shame, really. Uruguayan football has suffered in recent years because of the exodus of talented players to Europe. But even though the quality has dropped dramatically, as you said, Luke, Uruguay were one of the best footballing sides going years and years back. Mm. It's had a vast change. The atmosphere on the terraces is still red hot. You know, these fans are still there in their thousands, and they absolutely love it. I mean, if they're still chanting about 1911 and stuff.
I've seen some stuff about this derby where in the stadium something happened where the scoreboard fell down and fans sit in it,
and Martin Palermo got injured.
Well, they still use it.
No, it's just a frame now, but people stand in it and sit in it, and it's like, really? You fall off that, you're just mincemeat. It's just incredible. Like, the people will sit anywhere by the looks of it. There's talk of like Argentinian fans climbing into the stadium once for a national game there or something, like with ropes, something absolutely mental. Like,
class, isn't it? My favourite fact about it is that Nacional and Penarol have played each other since there's been proper records. They've played each other 432 times.
They must be sick to the back teeth.
They're not, though. This is the thing. Every derby is meted.
What a brilliant derby. Amazing.
Oh dear. And in they come.
All they come. All of them. Yeah. Come in. Everyone. Into the biggest induction ever.
BA.
Yeah, look after yourselves.
Absolutely. Ah, right. Well, that is the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you've had a lovely time. Remember, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com, and come over to the website, which features fantastic blogs from many fantastic men. James or Jim is one of them, believe it or not. And that's thefootballramble.com, and the forum, which is enjoying a lot of good chat. And
that's not a French cat. No, there's very little chat about
that.
Have you
got something to say?
I've got lots of things to say. I think you'll probably tell that. Thanks to Fitzy on the forum for imagining a hilarious sitcom scenario whereby Kevin Nolan's waiting to use the bathroom only to discover that Andy Carroll's used all the links Africa. Thank you to Dingo at My Ramble for posting a bizarre John Terry picture, animated GIF, where he's crying floods of tears. Check it out if you can on the forum. It's a glorious piece of work. And finally, I was going to thank Umbra actually for taking us to the football, but you've already said that, so that's about it, really.
Marvellous.
Cool. Thank you.
Say goodbye, James. Oh, remember Pick Live, of course.
Oh, yeah, play some Pick Live with us. It's great fun.
The address is
thefootballramble.picklive.com.
There it is.
We'll be up. I mean, I think I'm up next, aren't I?
Are you
so seriously, get involved because I'm rubbish compared to
We were a lot worse than Mark and
I. Say goodbye, James, on GM.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
We're all off to live with Kevin Nolan. Cheers.
Oh, yeah. What about me, then?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.